from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if he isn't yours, I want him to be. If he isn't yours, he can be. In fact, if he isn't yours, he came to be. The Word of God teaches us in the book of Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to say that which is lost. Debbie and I are glad that you've tuned in today. This little radio program, we pray that our time together is a blessing. Pray that it'll bring glory to God. Pray that it'll stir your heart, challenge your heart, and well, you'll just find it in the program. You were happy that you stopped by. Listen, we're happy that you are. We're happy to be doing this. We're thankful, humbled that God has given us this privilege to do this little ministry. Well, I've opened my Bible to the book of Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 16, a familiar passage to Bible readers. And if you're not a Bible reader, it may not be familiar with you, but after we read it and look at it today, consider the message God has laid on my heart. Maybe it'll become familiar with you. But before I do that, Deb's got a song she's going to do, and the title of it is This Path I Take. I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful song done by a beautiful lady. I love her so very much, appreciate her. God has blessed her mind with the music he's given her. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Enjoy This Path I Take. I'll be back in a couple of minutes with the message.
This path I take leads me through a barren land into a
How true that is, friend. Listen, we're all going somewhere. We're all headed for eternity. Do you know that? Listen, friend, we're on a path, and I trust that you're on the path that leads to, just what Debbie said, a path that leads to home. That place that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare for you, because there is a place that God has created for the devil and his angels. It's kind of enlarged itself, the Word of God says. It's opened its mouth without measure to receive those that listen. You'll never be welcome if you go to that place. If you reject Christ, if you never trust Him as your Savior, there is a place, the Bible says, there is a place, the Bible said, called hell for those who say, look, I don't want to trust Christ as my Savior. If you're on the wrong path, get on the right one. If you're on the right one, let's rejoice today. Well, listen, here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16, the Word of God says this. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I'm going to talk to you today a little while about this question. How are your paths? How are your paths? What do you mean, paths, preacher? Well, when I get down to the message, you'll understand that. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. There's only one way to heaven. So I'm not talking about the path to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I mean, I could go on and on with many ways. And the Word of God teaches us that no man can come to the Father except they come through Jesus. Look, friend, there's not many roads to heaven. There's only one. But I'll tell you why. There's a lot of paths as a believer, as a follower of Christ, that we ought to know, that we ought to be familiar with in this life. And I'll tell you what, friend, they'll determine how close we are to the Lord. They'll determine how much power we have of the Lord. They'll determine, friend, with how godly we are. They'll determine, friend, just exactly many, many wonderful things about our spiritual condition, our spiritual relationship with Jesus, how close we're walking with Him, or how far away we are once we begin to examine them. But look, Jeremiah, what a task he had. Stayed down there in Jerusalem, begging and pleading with the people that were headed to judgment, the people that he loved, his own people in that great city that God said, I'll put my name in it, that from here it'll be declared and made known to all the world. Listen, friend, I'll tell you, friend, listen. Jeremiah was a heartbroken man. Jeremiah, my, he wept, and no wonder they called him the weeping prophet. But he said, listen, stand and look. Look at your path. See how they are. Are you in the right path? Are you walking the right way? If you're not, listen, junk the one that you're in and get on the old path that leads to peace, that leads to prosperity. I'll tell you, friend, listen, I believe this message God has laid on my heart will touch us and help us if we allow it. Now look, I was thinking about this message, and you know what come to my mind? What come to my mind was what the Word of God teaches us in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the feeding of the 5,000. Y'all know that's the only miracle, as far as I can understand, that is recorded in all four Gospels. Oh, isn't it an amazing thing? I'd like to know the depths and the breadth of it, and why God moved through the Holy Spirit men to write and record this in all four accounts of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. It must be as deep and as broad and as high as high. But look, there's something about this that stirred my heart. Begin to look at it. We could talk about the place for the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But we could talk about the people that did eat. We could talk about the apostles as they were part of that group that day. We could talk about the plan that Jesus had, the plan that maybe the apostles had to send them the way. We could look at the probing Jesus did with a man by the name of Philip and ask him, hey, what are we going to do, Philip? And we could look at the provision Jesus made. But I'll tell you what catches my heart in this, what catches my mind and my spirit was the path. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that hillside at Galilee? Somewhere near the city of Bethsaida. Can you imagine, friend, that hillside? And I've had the privilege of being in the land of Israel a time or two. I've had the privilege of being in what's known as the the traditional place of the Sermon on the Mountain. What a joyous place, privilege it was, and a wonderful place it was to look at. So in my mind, to some degree, I can imagine what it may have looked like with all of those men, 5,000 beside the women and the children, sitting down there in that grass. But listen, what I want you to think about. My, listen, when Jesus took those two fishes and the five loaves, you know what He did? He looked up to heaven. He blessed them and He broke them. And He began to give them to the disciples. Did He not? The disciples, those apostles began to pass it out through the ranks of those people sitting in groups of 50, multiples of five, if you will, as God graced them in a mighty, mighty way. And by the way, He's still the God of all grace. Amen. Thank God I'm about to get happy over that. But I can imagine the way that place looked that day. Before that crowd came, before they sought Jesus and His apostles in that desert place, after they had returned from a preaching tour, a pretty successful one too, from what I understood, they were tired. They needed some rest. When they found out, the crowd did, that Jesus was in the land, when they found out where He was at, they resorted to Him. And as Jesus looked, He had compassion on them and said, They're like sheep without a shepherd. And you know what He began to do? He began to minister to them. He ministered to them, listen, through His followers, through those that He had called, through those that He had prayed over time and again, and especially one night before He chose those 12 apostles. And you know what He did? He used them. He employed them to meet the need. He employed them, to be a blessing to the people. But I can think about that mountainside before that event happened, before that group of people showed up, before Jesus began to bless the bread and break it and give it to the apostles. Listen, there probably wasn't a path on it. If there was, there wasn't many. I'll tell you what, friend, listen, a path's a pretty important thing. Do you know that? A path. You know what a path is? Well, in its simplest definition, it's a way. That's right. It's a way. But here's what I want to emphasize today. It's a way that's well known. Do you hear? It's a place where people walk. It's a place that's been trodden down. It's a place that is a path. It's cleared out. I mean to tell you, it may be rocky. It may be uphill. It may be whatever as far as that goes. But it's not cluttered. It's well worn. I mean, it's well marked. Even somebody that wasn't familiar with it could see it and say, wow, there's the path. You ever been out in the mountains and you see a deer trail? You ever be out in the mountains? You see where deer had been traveling? Hey, you can pick it up pretty good. Old hogs, listen, those wild hogs, you can tell where they're traveling. A lot of things are creatures of habit, if you will, instinct, if they're animals. But I'll tell you, I believe, listen, we as God's people, we as the people of God, ought to have some paths, well marked, pretty clear, things that we're familiar with. Well, I begin to think again about this miracle that day. Do you know what happened? In order for the people to be ministered to, in order for God to be glorified, in order for anything to happen positive, the apostles had to walk a path. They had to walk a path back to Jesus. And I'll tell you what I believe it was. I believe it was well worn, don't you? Hey, it's probably uphill at least one way. I don't know where Jesus sat. Maybe sat down by the riverside, and it was uphill all the way when the apostles began to minister to them. Maybe He sat at the top of the hill, and they walked down distributing the food gladly, amazed at the miracle, watching Jesus minister to those that He came to seek and to save. I don't know how it was. Maybe He was right in the midst. He likes to be in the midst of His people. You understand that, do you not? I don't know where He was at. I imagine part of the way it was uphill, part of the way it was downhill, maybe part of the way it was level. But I'll tell you what, listen, I'm taken by the past that were there that day. The past, I'd missed the fact that there was probably some paths worn in that place that day. And you know where they all led? They led to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine this scene in your mind? All those people, all those men, 5,000 men beside the women and the children. There could have been as many as 15,000 people on that hillside that day. They were eating fish. They were eating bread that had been blessed and broken by Jesus. And you know what happens? The Word of God says, when the day was ended, they were all filled, thank God. They were all satisfied. You say, why? Because they had been touched with something that Jesus had blessed. Thank God. How's your past? How are your past? Do you ever think about it? I believe at the end of the day, when the end of this time of service was gone, it was well worn. I believe the grass was laid down. Maybe it already died by that time. But I want you to know something. Thank God, listen, every place on that hillside, there was a path that led back to Jesus. Thank God. Hey, it was a path that led back to Jesus. Didn't care if it was Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Thomas, Judas Iscariot, or Judas the Less. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, the others, hey, all of them, all the past, have led back to Jesus. Oh, look, maybe they followed the same path. Maybe they walked behind each other. Maybe they had 12 paths. I have no idea. But I want you to know they led to Jesus. Thank God. He's the sort. You know what? Hey, do you know what? Do you know what this, this miracle is about? By the way, in a lot of ways, this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, it's about multiplication. And I'll tell you, friend, listen, we can't do anything unless we go to Him and come from Him. But I'm going to ask you again, how's your past? How are your past? You know what? There's a lot more paths that we need to consider than what I'm going to tell you about. But how's your path? Number one, your place of prayer. My, friend, how important prayer is. Didn't James, friend, the half-brother of Jesus, the brother of Jude, didn't he not say that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Did he not use Elijah, that great godly man, that great man of God out of the Old Testament who led the nation of Israel to a revival, did as much, if not more, for that nation of God in bringing them back to God than anybody else that you'll read about? Oh, it was a great thing that Elijah did, and he did it by the aid of prayer. Do you know that? Well, I'll tell you what, we need to have a place of prayer. I remember when God's called me into the ministry, and even after that, 1977, the making of this program, I'm just a few days from my 42nd year in the ministry. I want to apologize because I do it any better. I want to apologize because I don't know any more than what to do, but I'll tell you, I'm glad I know God called me into this work. I remember, listen, when I was struggling with that, when I was trying to discern God's will, I had me a place up Casey Holler, up on the side of the hill, where I'd placed me about 12 stones there. I went up on the side of that hill. I may could take you pretty close to where it's at even today and hadn't been there for years. I'd get on my knees before God. I'd beg with Him. I'd agonize with Him. I'd ask Him, listen, to do His work in me and let me know that it was His work. I remember that. Listen, I remember the path to it. I remember how that, bless God, I didn't have any trouble finding it because I went there often, and I even had the privilege of going to a preacher friend of mine's path where he prayed just up a hollow a little bit beyond where his house was underneath a couple of pine trees. And you know what I remember about that? That path was well worn. Bless God, it wasn't cluttered. It didn't have a lot of grass on it. I mean to tell you, it was down to the earth. Can I tell you something, folks? Listen, whether you go to your bedroom and your closet, where you get in your study, in your basement, where you go in your work building, outside, it doesn't matter. Down by your couch, down by your bed, you need a well-worn path. I bless God to lead, that leads to your place of prayer. I don't believe we can do anything. I don't believe we can accomplish anything great for God without prayer, constant prayer, seeking God's face, fervent prayer, like Brother Josh Scarberry taught me that word fervent over there there in the book of James, it's like boiling water. That's the way it ought to be when we pray. Bless God, you may not open your mouth. You may be prostrate on your face before God, but your spirit's boiling, your heart's boiling. God hears you, friend. And we ought to have a path to place of prayer. How about a place of private devotion? Listen, friend, I can't say enough about what it means to have private devotion. Hey, listen now, listen closely. I like church attendance. Do you hear me? I like going to the house of God. I like gathering with other people who are like mind, of like faith, at a stated place, at a stated time, that desires to get together and worship God in spirit and truth. Sing the songs of Zion. Testify about His goodness. Be edified from the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what, listen, friend, how that'll freshen up public worship. If you have a time of private devotion, thank God. I'll tell you what, if you seek God, if you seek Him in prayer, if you seek Him in reading the Word of God, if you seek Him, friend, in meditation, if you seek Him in private worship, you won't have any trouble giving it publicly. Amen. I'm telling you, how's your path towards your place of devotion? Is it necessary for you to get there every day? I mean to tell you, can anything just kind of knock you off course or knock you out of going there and doing that? Is your path cluttered? I mean, are there a lot of things laying in the way? Listen, good things, but it's not the best thing. Hey, your path toward your place of private devotion is so important for you. Look, listen, that's why we lose your testimony. That's why we lose your joy sometimes. That's why we lose your strength. That's why we lose a desire. Listen, friend, we've got to spend time with Jesus. We've got to spend enough time with Him. I bless God where people listen. They may say we're ignorant and unlearned, but they'll know without a doubt that we've been spending time with Jesus. How's your path? How's your path toward your place of prayer? How's your path toward your place of private devotion? And how's your path toward your place of public worship? Well, I'll tell you what, we live in a day, it's strange to me. I'm telling you, listen, it's strange what is and is not happening. Hey, we've got a society of Sunday morning going to church Christians, and I'm glad you come on Sunday morning. I'm glad you're there because, listen, let's face it, if you didn't come, many of you that are listening to me, if you didn't come on Sunday morning, you wouldn't come at all. So don't stop, do you hear? Keep coming. Keep coming till your heart gets stirred to where you want to be there Sunday night, where you want to be there Wednesday night, where you want to be there every time the doors open, where you come to realize that when Hebrews was saying, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Bless God, keep coming until you get it. Amen. And you see, we're Christ-like. We're little Christians. We're little Christs. At least we're supposed to be. And as Jesus' custom was, according to Luke chapter 4, He found Himself in the temple on the Sabbath. Now listen, we don't go, we don't worship God on Saturday. I mean, our day is Sunday. But look, let me say this about that. Every day's a day of worship. Do you hear me? Listen, the Lord's Day is when we get together to worship Him publicly. And how are you? How is your path toward your place of worship? I'm not talking about your place of entertainment. I'm not talking about your place of being lifted up by the popular idea of giving you psychology, building your self-esteem, and listen, giving you the desires of your heart. We ought to come with our desire of heart being to worship the Lord, to give Him praise, to give Him glory, and to receive from Him what He knows we need, and not just what we want. And listen, going to church is good for us. I'll tell you, it's about God. We go there to worship Him. We go there to honor Him. We go there to show that He's worthy in what we say and do. And we ought to be at our best when we go. We ought to give our best when we get there. Hey, friend, listen, how's your path to your place of worship? And then finally, look, only because I'm running out of time, How's your place of personal fellowship? Boy, I'll tell you what, listen, there are too many people walking like Peter on the fringes. Too many people like Peter walking far away. Listen, they've got a name. They serve God like 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter, or 2 Timothy, I'll get it right in a minute, chapter 3. Verse 5 says that in the days of perilous times, and we're in those, there'd be a group of people that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Listen, friend. Listen, how's your path? How's your path to personal fellowship? Do you like that old song that said, I'm going to walk as close as I possibly can? Do you like that old song that says, I'm going to die on the battlefield. I'm going to die with glory in my soul. Hey, friend, listen. We don't want to be a fringe. We don't be a fringe relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. We need to snuggle up close. We need to get just as close to Him as we can. We need to take the, bless God, the admonition of James that says, cleanse ye hands, ye sinners. Purify hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Hey, folks, how's your past? How are your past? Are they clean? Are they well-worn? Listen, do you know them? Do you visit them? Do you walk them? For them to be a path, you got to do it regularly. Hey, how's your path? I hope they're clear. I hope they're well marked. And I hope you're blessed by them under the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.